how our prayers work. Help us to understand some things that prayer will not accomplish. In doing this, in this study, one of the objectives of the lesson is to help us know God better and to help us understand how to relate to God, especially in prayer. So we titled the lesson, "The Power That Prayer Does Not Possess." The power that prayer does not possess. There are literally thousands of human, should I say, affairs or situations in which we wonder what the result will be, and oftentimes we pray to the Almighty God that He will bring about a particular result. You and I, we face things daily, hourly. And as we see things before us that we must address, deal with, many times we wonder how it's going to work out. And those of us who are people of God, many times we go to God with the petition to God for Him to work out whatever it is in a way that is beneficial to us. There is also constant debate about who or what power or effort was responsible for the outcome of certain things. A lot of time things work out a certain way, and you or I, others, wonder why it worked out this way. A lot of time it works out good, a lot of time not so good, but we wonder how comes it work out that way. First, prayer. Prayer does not have the power over God's will and God's nature. I need to repeat that. God's will first are those things which the Almighty God pre-planned, predestined, purpose, things that God wants to be done, and to be done a certain way. God planned it. Keep in mind, God is not haphazard. The Almighty God is premeditated. God is not impulsive. He not just get up and him feel a certain way and him just do this because him feel so. No, sir. God purpose, plan things. But whatever God plan, it must be in will with His holiness. Always remember that God's holiness is the dominant controlling force in God. His holiness. The holiness of God is that which controls God's love. You know, we hear a lot about God's love. Well, God's holiness. And you know, the Bible speaks a lot about God's holiness. When the Almighty God said in reference to Nadab and Abihu, when God burned them up because they approach worship wrongly. And God says, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Meaning, you will deal with me as a holy God. Because the word sanctified here is the same word holy. The word saint is the word holy. So God's holiness is the dominant ruling force in God's nature. So I come back to the point that prayer does not have power over the will of God, and it does not have power over the nature of God. In other words, prayer will not alter God's nature. You cannot pray for God to forgive your sin outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. When the Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin, that is talking about the nature of God. Now, so for a man to expect to be forgiven, not having heard, believe, repent, and baptize. And then somebody say, but Brother Mitchell, you mix me up now. Because you talk about the nature of God, and now you talk about hear, believe, repent. Yes. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ, you must hear, believe, repent, and be baptized. And all that is in keeping with the holy nature of God. Prayer will not address or alter that. Let's say you pray and fast from now until next year this time. Of course, if you fast, you're going to die by then. But let's say it was possible for you to fast and pray to God from now until January the 31st, that prayer and fasting will go nowhere in dealing with your sin. Because the Almighty God has already laid down how sins are addressed in Jesus Christ. So prayer does not alter God's, does not affect God's nature or God's will. But here too, prayer does not exclude human effort and faith. You cannot just go to God and just pray, sir. You must pray believing. Faith is always an absolute necessity in prayer. Anyone who comes to God must believe that there is a God. When it says that he is, mean that he exists. And that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So prayer, not only does it not have any power over God's nature, it does not have any power over God's will, that is things that God plan, purpose, decide upon. And prayer does not exclude human effort. As we are going to see today, that there are many things, in fact, even miraculous things that involve human effort. Even where the Almighty God going to perform a miracle, there are situations where he laid down condition. He's going to do a miracle, you know.
But he laid down condition that must be met
in order for him to perform that miracle. Now, let us run the business of prayer. Let us run to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Passage you well know. Let us have it. Romans 8, verse 26 through 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Our infirmities mean our limitation. And that covers a lot of area. Our ignorance.
For we
our weakness. Our short-sightedness. The Spirit, for the child of God, the Almighty God provide assistance for us. That is encouraging. Listen,
for we know
not
what we should pray for.
You hear that? We always think that when we go to God, we pray for the right thing. No, a lot of time we take foolishness to God. But that is because of our ignorance. Sin blinds us to a lot of things. Truly, as smart as we think we are, we do not know what, not only what, the what of prayer, but the how of prayer. But when you are a child of God, the Almighty God have the Spirit to work in our best interest. Read, brother.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings.
You hear? The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, make intercession for us. When you have something to take to God, the Almighty God become your representative, the Holy Spirit become your representative to God, because you are a child of God. But remember, you know, the hour here is referring to Christian. Everybody must get that. It's important that we get that. That prayer is a privilege for the children of God. And Christian, you must not forget that. And you must always remember to share that with the ungodly. Why is prayer a privilege for the Christian? Man on his own cannot approach God because God is holy and we are unholy. Prayer can be done only in Christ. Prayer is a spiritual blessing. And from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I think, we are told that all spiritual blessings are vested in Jesus Christ. So prayer is a privilege of the children of God. Men and women who have been forgiven through faith, repentance, and baptism. Baptism places one in Christ. That's only where you can pray. Because only through Jesus Christ our prayer reaches God and is effectual. Outside of Jesus Christ, pray until you want. And the wind take it different place, but not to God. So, what we are saying here, brothers and sisters, that when the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit taking our prayer and fix it up and take it to God with groaning that cannot, language is not adequate to take, you know. May I? There are certain people that when, I remember getting a particular, well, in the secular world as a young man when I was doing electrical work, the best job I have ever had. Was with Lord, I think it was Lord Electric, which was an American company. The first building built in Jamaica was called Park Lane, down at the bottom of Duke Street. It's the first high-rise building, car park building. I work on that building. And how I got the job was a recommendation from an American who was who places membership at Elliston Road under Brother Walker's leadership. I was doing electrical work. Brother Walker spoke to him, and he write a recommendation and send me to the superintendent. And once he read the recommendation, that was enough. I got the job. What is the point? There are some people, when they recommend you, it means a lot. When the Holy Spirit take our prayer and groaning, that is appeal, that you and I do not have the capability to appeal to God in that way, those prayer will be heard and will be answered. That's the implication of the passage. But that privilege is only for the children of God. The prayer of a righteous man, and that includes a righteous woman, availeth little. Did it say much? That's what it says, much. Prayer. As I said, there are times when human effort is required, even in situations where the Almighty God will be performing miracle. May I give you an instant or an illustration? Taking down the wall of Jericho. God himself miraculously tore down the wall of Jericho. Wait. Be mindful, as many of you are well aware, that in those days, most cities had to be built and was surrounded by walls. Not any little. These would not be considered really walls. Not truly. Those were walls that chariot could drive on. Those were high walls that it was difficult or impossible to scale. So when we talk about wall, don't think of wall like this. Big wall. And Jericho had such a wall. It was part of the protection, because those were wartime. Most nations then do not go on for a year without having to fight with their neighbor. That's the way it was. That was the order of things in the ancient world. Jericho was no exception. The Almighty God's people, the Israelites, was on their march to the promised land. Christians are on their march to the promised land. It's only in our case our promised land is an everlasting promised land. The Israelites were on their march to the promised land from Egypt. They reached Jericho, a wall, strong city. The Almighty God wanted to give them entrance into Jericho. Did you hear what I said? God wanted to give them entrance. But notice, turn to the book of Joshua chapter 6, verse 5 following.
And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when he hear the sound of the trumpet.
Wait, Israel, you know, Israel had an army. This is why the Almighty God had it. We're from a particular age, if my memory serves me right, 18 or 22. Somewhere there, they had to number the young men that were from that age. Because when the Israelites were called upon to fight the nation whose land and area that they had to march through, there was a ready fighting army of Israel, ready to undertake the battle. So Israel had an army. Why did not God use the army to fight the people in Jericho and just take it? The fact is, before you can fight the people, you have to get to them. There was no way getting to the people inside the city while that wall was standing. You did not bulldozer then to knock down the wall. You didn't have explosive then. Now, mark you, the chemical for explosive was always here from creation. But men did not understand to put these chemicals together to create explosive. So the Almighty God will have to perform a miracle. But listen to God. Now read, brother. You are in the book of Joshua chapter 6.
And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when he hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout.
I wonder if you're noticing what I'm noticing. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God is about to perform a wonderful miracle. An out of sight miracle. Where walls, how many feet long, how many feet wide, going to just fall down like that. That's a miracle.
That's right.
But notice that the Almighty God, even in miracle, is employing human effort.
That's right.
That's a great lesson for us, you know. Read on, brother.
And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord.
All these are preconditioned to the miracle that God is about to perform.
That's right.
Everything we have read from verse 5 of the passage of Joshua chapter 6, everything you have read from verse 5 involving the human input, all of that are preconditioned. In other words, they must be done before God performs his miracle.
That's right.
I'm just showing us, among other things, and hope it will help us to understand God better and understand how prayer works, and to understand that even in situation where God going to perform miracle, Brother Mitchell, put that another way, even in situations where we pray to God to help us in certain undertaking, we must realize that God expects us to do all that are in our power to do.
Amen.
We find the same thing in Israel. Victory over the Midianite under Gideon, the same involvement of human effort. Look at Judges chapter 7, 16 following. Quick, brother. Judges. Chapter 7, verse 16 following.
And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put...
Your three companies, 100 each. Remember, the man was asked, told by God to reduce his army from some 23 or 30 some thousand, whatever, to 300. Oh my God, in those days you're fighting war. The more soldiers you have is the better chance of victory. But not with God. God doesn't depend necessarily on enough to accomplish his purpose. That's right. Remember that. So here. And God had other reason. Reason that suit God's purpose and reason that saved the Israelite from sinning in the reduction of the army. Because if the army had gone, the 23,000 or whatever, had gone in that number, at the end of the day, when they experienced victory, they would pat themselves on the shoulder and say, you see what we have accomplished? And God would be most likely be left out of the equation. But when the army was reduced as it was, the only person to whom they could look and be thankful to God for was the Almighty God. Read, brother, read.
And he put a trumpet in every man's hand.
That is three group made up of 100 Israelite each. And this group of 100 had trumpet. This 100 had trumpet, every man. The other 100, the other group of 100 had trumpet. Read, brother.
With empty pitchers and lambs.
With containers that were empty. Read on.
And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise.
That's right. At the appointed time, you look what I do and you do exactly what I do. Read.
And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do.
That so is outside of the Midian camp. Just look on. What you are noticing here, brothers and sisters, it's the involvement of human effort. And we must not miss that. Here again, the Almighty God going to perform a miracle. We are talking about miracle. What we have in mind that in miracle, and many miracles are like that, it's like you just stand one side and watch God, how he does his thing. But it's not always like that. There are times when the Almighty God, for God's own wise and infinite reason, see the need to involve the effort of his servants. Read on.
When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp.
The 100 that were with Joshua. He said, when I blow my trumpet and those with me blow their trumpet, you do likewise. Well, what all the foolishness there? And you know, if God are going to do something, let him do it, no? You know, that's the same type of reasoning men and women take to baptism. Same type of reasoning. You see, it's like, no, if I go to God in prayer, God will forgive my sin like that. No, God state how he's going to forgive sin. And we better have enough humility and enough faith to do what God says. Read, brother.
And see, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
That's what they should repeat. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Read.
So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands.
You see, this almost looks like your work, Obia. That's right. They blew the trumpet and they do this. You know, that's how God works. That's the way God works. Brothers and sisters, a lot of these things that they're called upon to do is to test their faith, to test their obedience. The Almighty God is still testing our faith and obedience today. And what we notice here is that, and don't overlook this, that human wisdom, human knowledge, human experience, human effort, human skill, human ability, human application are many times called upon by God to be employed in that which God is going to accomplish in life for us. Be it collectively or individually, just as we have seen it here. These things, like human wisdom, human effort, human skill, human input, human application and ability, these are usually employed by God to determine the outcome of many things, even when God's intervention is thought, and even when God is going to perform a miracle in those days when God performed miracle. May I look at this? I find this, just one verse, quite interesting. In fact, in putting this lesson together, when I read the verse from different version of the Bible, and I felt that, let me check some commentary. Even the commentators acknowledge that this verse is one of the more difficult. Not that what it says is difficult, is relating what it says to God's nature and God's power. And that is the passage of Judges chapter 1 and verse 19. Read it aloud for me. Judges 1, 19.
And the Lord was with Judah.
Read that again.
And the Lord was with Judah.
May I just drop along here? Judah was, I was about to say, the leading tribe. And that is an appropriate description of Judah. The tribe of Levi was the priesthood tribe. You could call that the leading tribe. But because Jesus Christ was designated to be born from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Judah was, in God's scheme of things, the leading tribe. Listen to the verse now. Read again, start from the verse.
And the Lord was with Judah.
And the Lord was with Judah.
And he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain.
The he here can be complicated. The he who, God or Judah, it meant Judah, drove out the inhabitants of the mountain.
But
there are two things. We're going to have mountain and valley there. Read that again.
And he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain.
That's right. Watch here now.
But
wait, take time, brother. God was with Judah. That's the leading tribe. And he, that is Judah, drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. But, read now.
But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley.
Could not. Did you read that in there, brother?
Could not.
And God was with them? That sounds contradictory. But not when it stated why they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, that even going to add more complication to it. Read.
Because they had chariots of iron.
Wait, God can hang lion. you know, there's so much in the Bible to help us understand how God works. Because you could, if you're not careful, you're reading this, that if you want to have it over God, approach him with iron and you'll kill him. Because here, and God was with Judah, and Judah drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but was unable to drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. As I've said, was it because God was not powerful enough for the iron chariot? Was it because God was not with Judah? We know that's not it, because we are introduced to the fact that God was with this tribe. Is it because Judah did not have the military hardware necessary to defeat the chariot of iron? Is it because of lack of faith? Let me just drop along here. Tonight, in tonight's lesson, which is attached to this, we will go in a little more detail in the lesson and the consideration here today. And that is the fact that the presence of God by itself does not always guarantee victory. Not because God is unable, but a lot of times the human input that is called for by God is not there. And that's a lesson for us. Lot of times, our failures, our disappointment, that sometimes even bring tears, they come not because God is that far from us, but lot of times input, that common sense that God gives us that should tell us we should have those input. We do not put our input. And the result that God wants to come for us didn't come. Tonight we will look more into this. But may I just drop by here? Lack of faith most likely played a part in Judah Having driven out. No, fighting on the mountain is more difficult than in the valley. Yet he was victorious in driving them from the mountain. But those in the valley, he could not, and it referred to the fact that they have chariot of iron. Of course, the chariot of iron does better in the valley. They would not be able to climb the mountain so readily and easily. But tonight, more will be said. Is only the fact that when you read verse 19, which has just been read, it's like a contradiction. There is no situation, there is no metal, there is no armament that is not under the subjection of the Almighty God.
Amen.
None. There is nothing that man can ever invent or use to weaken God. None. So it was in the time of Joshua, and so it is in our time. A lot of times, the human input, the faith with which we are to approach things, a lot of times that is lacking. Sometimes we wonder, where is God and his power? Which comes through prayer in the midst of challenges we face. Is it poverty? Is it needs? Is it want? Is it failure? Is it success? There is the misery, the failures. There is the unhappiness in our home, in our jobs, in our marriages, and other areas of our lives, in spite of constant prayers. Prayers that we send up to God for months and for years. Where is God and God's power? Does God stop answering prayer? Sometimes these things run through people's mind. And many times it never dawned on some of us that what you ask God for, to do for you, it also called for some input that God put in your common sense. But in too many cases, we just fold our arms and expect things to come through. In most of these situations, it is the human element that is missing. Not that God failed. In fact, when you're a child of God, it's not because God is not there or want to work for you, but something with your common sense to tell you you should do, you don't do it. And Judges chapter 1 that was read, we're coming down to the last part of the lesson now. Judges chapter 1, 19 that was read is a good example. In fact, let me just throw this out, you know, as we wrap up. May I? When as the Israelites enter and the land of Palestine, the promised land that God promised to the Israelites, they entered it and the different tribes and individuals were allotted, given their inheritance. We're not going to read this now, but when you read verse 19 through verse 21, you're going to notice this. We're just summing up. we notice Judah, Caleb, and Benjamin were given their portion. I may just drop off here. I don't know if time will allow me tonight to get into that. And it is quite impressive, striking, astonishing. Among the most famous of Israelites were Caleb and Joshua. Did you know that Caleb was not an Israelite? I find that truly. In my study, just recently, I realized that Caleb was, is it an Ammonite or Ammonite? Caleb was not an Israelite. He did not spring from any of the 12 tribes. Well, why was this man so outstanding? Even what I'm just relating here in summary about being given their portion. In fact, let me finish that. When they were given their inheritance in the promised land, Judah was given his inheritance. But in subduing the heathen who occupied that whole area, because that's what it was, you know. It's like Joshua would say, from here to Spanish Town belong to the Levite. From Spanish Town to Meepen belong to the Benjamite. That's the way it was, one whole area. Now what we learn is that Judah partially succeeded in subduing the heathen. That's why. Caleb was wholly and totally successful, Caleb, in subduing the heathen. But Benjamin failed miserably. Now, all these are people of God. Caleb was given his inheritance among the tribe of Judah. That's why he was always associated with Joshua. But Benjamin failed to subdue the heathen in his inheritance. Why? They are God's people. It comes right back to the point that a lot of times the human input that is necessary to utilize what God has in store for us, a lot of times the human input is not placed there. May I? In many cases, brothers and sisters, God's blessing sometimes comes to us like a check. Huh? Check for $1 million given to you. It's of no use until you cash that check. You all got it? Many times God's blessing is like that. God gives you his blessing in a check. That's actually what we have seen in what we read about Judah. That's what we have seen in the case where Judah was partially successful in his inheritance. Caleb was wholly and totally successful, but Benjamin utterly failed. Yes. If God gives you a check, you have to cash it to get the benefit. Failures, problems, disappointments, needs are part of this life for every one of us. They will be minimize or maximize, yes, failures, problems, disappointment, need. They will be minimized or maximized depending on the human wisdom, experience, knowledge, and effort. God acts in human affairs, but in so many cases, the Almighty God expects us to be responsible. That is play our part. And even in prayer, Christians, don't ever think prayer means throwing everything in God's lap. When you pray to God about anything, what is in your power, your ability to do about the thing, do it, and God will work with that. Come tonight, and God's willing, more will be said about the fact that the presence of God does not always guarantee success, because a lot of times lacking is the human input. And many cases, God requires that. If you are here today, not a child of God, if you are here today, having become a child of God and have backslid, this lesson can be of help to you if you apply the truth you have learned. God is always at work for men and women who commit their lives to Him. Even when you think God is absent, no, if you're a child of His, He's there for you. But God usually asks for human input, even in serving God. Serving God calls for our input. When Sunday morning comes, sometimes a dozen things are making demand upon us. That's right. When Wednesday night comes, where we meet to study God's word to be more enlightened, different things make demand on us. The Almighty God expects us to have our priority right. The Almighty God expects that when like Sunday come, we must realize that the 24 hours that is contained in every day, those 24 hours, they are given to you by the Almighty God. And you go about and you do your work and you do your thing. Common sense, reasonableness should say to us, shouldn't I give God back even an hour or two in worship? When yours or my common sense doesn't dictate that we owe something to our Creator, something is wrong. So what I'm saying is that even in serving God, human input is absolutely necessary and it is called for. Today you can come acknowledging your sin. If you are a child of God who has backslidden, if you are a man or a woman who has never become a Christian the Bible's way, today you can come believing in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. As a result of that belief, repenting of your sin. And after repentance, you must be willing to confess Christ's name. And after that, be baptized so that your sins can be dealt with by the blood of Christ. God has given you this moment. Use it wisely as we stand.